One of the very characteristic teachings of the Buddha is that the time of the Parinibbana, he's lying on his side under the sal trees in Kusinara, and the trees have burst into blossom out of season, and you can hear the sound of celestial musicians playing, the Gandharvas playing their heavenly music. Mandarava blossoms are raining down from the Deva realms. And many, many people and beings gathered around. And Ananda says, it's amazing, it's incredible. Never before has the Tathagata been so honored, so revered, so such reverence has been paid to him in this extraordinary ways under the full moon of Visakha in the forest. He recounts all these different extraordinary gestures of devotion that the living world and the devas, human beings, are paying to the Buddha. The Buddha says, yes, indeed, Ananda, never before has such reverence, such honor, such devotion been expressed towards the Tathagata in this way. But if a disciple really wants to express their devotion, their reverence, their veneration for the teacher, then what they'll do is follow the Eightfold Path. So, once again, Venerable Ananda is getting a bit over-enthusiastic. And once again, the Buddha appreciates his enthusiasm, but then steers it in a different direction. So, yesterday we were taking time to recollect, to express our gratitude, our reverence for Lumpo Cha and his extraordinary legacy, the reason why we're all here. None of us, none of this would be here were it not for him. But if we really want to express our devotion, our gratitude, our reverence for Lumpo Cha, what we will do is practice. We'll embody the Dhamma. That's how to express reverence for the teacher in the best possible way. Follow their guidance. Embody the principles that they have been encouraging all these years. One of the teachings that Lumpo Cha gave, I feel is very significant, is he said, a samana has no future. If one is a samana, living as a renunciant, as a nakpatipat, a practitioner of Dhamma, then one has no future. So to the ego, this is a disaster, depressing, threatening, no future. Therefore, no possibility. Life has no value. Nothing interesting. Everything will be lost in terms of ego-centered thinking. But in terms of Dhamma, what it points directly to is that reality is timeless. Sanditiko, apparent here and now, akaliko, timeless. Reality is pachupanna, here and now. So when Lumpo Cha made that statement, a samana has no future, that means if the heart is really in accord with its own nature, which is Dhamma itself, then it doesn't create an imaginary future and then lean towards it. It's free of becoming, free of bhava-tanha. Bhava-niroto-nibbanam, the cessation of becoming, is nibbana. This is a powerful and beautiful, liberating reflection to explore as the mind tries to create a future. what I'm going to do after the group practice period is finished, when I have my solo retreat, when the winter retreat's over, then, this year I'm going to, when I've reached five rains, I will, when I'm a terer, a teree, I'm going to, I will, I should, I want to. Even if it's just creating later this morning, let alone later in the year or in 5 or 10 years' time. Creating an imaginary future and then trying to occupy it is dukkha. The Dhamma is here and now. So the more the heart embodies its own nature as Dhamma, the more free it is from dukkha. It's a natural, simple equation. The more that the heart embodies, knows its own nature, the more there is the quality of peace, of ease, of freedom. No future. Just this. It cuts right through the habits of self-centered thinking, self-view, the habits of I and me and mine, ahankara, mamankara, I making and mind making. But what it does is it breaks up those habits of thinking in terms of me and time and where I want to be, what I will do. It opens up the space of this present reality. We realize this moment is not just an insignificant finger snap between an infinite past and an infinite future, but this present reality is an infinite plane, spacious, limitless, boundless, profound. As it says in the Sutra of Huineng, in this moment, there is no thing that actually comes to be. In this moment, there is no thing that ceases to be. Thus, in this moment, there is no birth and death to be brought to an end. Therefore, this moment is the absolute peace. And though it is just this moment, just this, there is no limit to this moment. And herein is eternal delight. This is a profound teaching in this same area. Maybe talking in terms of ending birth and death can sound a bit grand, a bit challenging. But if we bring it closer to home, this mood, these sensations in the body, this tickle in my throat, this ache in my knee, this plan of what I want to do today. These little births and deaths that occupy our attention so fully, so completely. This list of things to do, jobs to be done, people to talk to. This is also the births and deaths. So easily fill our days, these ordinary, everyday, psychological, practical births and deaths. The day gets crowded, jammed full of these beginnings and endings, responsibilities, things that I have to respond to. Or if we take this teaching to heart, There is no thing that actually comes to be in this moment. No thing, no real permanent object that was, that ceases to be. Thus, in this moment, there is no birth and death to be brought to an end. There's no thing to be let go of. There's no person to hold on to it. There is no birth and death to be brought to an end. The world of appearances is a constant stream of beginnings and endings, births and deaths, in-breaths and out-breaths, beginnings and endings, a sitting beginning, a sitting ending, a day beginning, a day ending. So this is talking about this very heart, this citta, awake to the present reality that's not tied to those beginnings and endings. It's not imbuing them with a false reality, false substantiality. So in the calendar, according to the conventions, today is January the 17th, last day of our full schedule group practice. Tomorrow the schedule changes. Individual retreat times begin according to the program. So the signals are there. Things are changing. This is the last day of the group practice. So this is the ideal opportunity to look at that set of mental habits that go, and then, and I will, and I want to, and oh, I'm dreading, I'm hoping. This is the perfect day, the perfect time to look at that, to feel that trying to lean into the next moment. What next? Feel that, know that. And through that knowing, the heart discerns the tension, the stressing of that, and it lets go on its own. There's a releasing, not because I am letting go, but because there's an awareness of that tensing, that stressing, that creation of a false future. And then when the letting go has happened, pahi nanti, it has been relinquished, has been let go of, what's the result? Dukkha nirodha. When the grasping stops, what's present is peacefulness, boundlessness, ease, simplicity, every time. To have no future is a disaster for the ego, but liberation for the citta. Of course, no future. No yesterday, no tomorrow, no today. How delightful. What a relief.